welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello, welcome to episode 322 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. You alright, Sean?
I am stunning. How are you?
I'm alright, man. Yeah, it's cool. We have recorded a few of these in a row, so we actually...
We have. Are you getting fatigue?
I'm not, no, but I'm just trying to figure out, because we're talking about populism today and politics, and I'm just conscious that we're recording this before Boris Johnson has been officially sworn in as Prime Minister. And 3 weeks is a long time in politics, isn't it? Or 2 weeks when this will go out. So goodness knows where we're going to be up to by the time this goes out, but we'll try and keep it a bit less, well, a bit kind of not talking too much specifics because, could all have kicked off by then, couldn't it?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? But we're talking about populism and why populists are so popular. It's probably a more complicated area than you might think. Well, we've got 20 minutes to chat about it, so...
Let's get stuck in, boy.
But liveinthepresent.co.uk, all the show notes and links are there. Previous episodes, and if you sign up to the mailing list, you'll get alerts for the show, free meditation files, and discount code for the book, amongst a few other bits and bobs. You okay?
How's it going? Yeah, I'm good.
Enjoying the summer sun?
I am. It's hot.
It's hot. It might not be by the time this goes out. It might be cool again, but it's hot right now.
Yeah.
We'll talk about populism. This was your idea, so was this? Are you intrigued by the state of politics and the characters?
I'm continually fascinated by it, but what drives a lot of my choices when we're doing this is what people are talking to me about, because I'm obviously listening to people and what I do, but the amount of people that are talking about either the people that hate someone like Boris Johnson or they love him. And, like, what's the difference? What's going on? That fascinates me.
Yeah, I mean, we do live in a bit of a black and white world at the moment, and we've got really complex issues that need fixing around all sorts of stuff, society and environment and everything. And everything seems to be distilled down at the moment into yes or no or this or that. Even when you get to vote in a general election in the UK, you have two, maybe three or four options. Yeah. And, it's complicated stuff here, we're talking about the lives of millions of people, more. Why do we only get these?
What do we do? Do we take that populist view, which becomes like fascism and nationalism and all that kind of stuff, and it becomes I, me, my, sod, you? So we develop leaders who simplify complex issues. Mm-hmm. So what they do is... If you look at something like the immigrants that are trying to get into Europe from further south down the globe, from the equator, we make that an us and them issue, and we make it very much a case of shut down the drawbridge and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're coming over to take our jobs, and goodness knows what else.
Yeah. So the last person who did this in a classic way was Hitler. Who managed to...
Heard of him,
managed to make the Jews out to be less than human, so they were animals, but also he scooped up all the homosexuals and the people that were mentally ill and everybody else.
Blimey,
into this group of people that were very much them and not us, and we could actually justify getting rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, we're still allowing a lot of history here into some little sound bites, but, I mean, the difference between, I see, with Hitler from the history that I know and his backroom staff of Goebbels and all that lot versus Trump, Hitler seemed to be, he had a bit more strategy, a bit more, you got the sense that he was smarter, to be honest, and that he had this overall arching goal, like an end point. Obviously it was a horrendous end point and he got pretty close to, or he did, the millions that were killed are crazy. But with Trump, and maybe also with the likes of Boris and, there's a chap in South America, Brazil, isn't it? Bolsonaro, is it, or something? He's a pretty, got some pretty dangerous thoughts on the go. There doesn't seem to be that kind of level of real thought about everything. You know, I mean, Hitler was obviously a massive arse and it did some horrendous damage. But he seemed to be a bit more calculated.
I think that the difference is that the build-up to the Second World War was much greater than what we've experienced yet. Mm-hmm. And I say yet, particularly. The issue about what is it that creates the division that leads to us and them, that leads to the war, had been going on since pre the First World War. And then when the German nation lost the First World War, then there was a lot of problems that came from that. And it was to do with the problems that the Allied armies had wrecked for the German people that were left.
Yep.
And that was a part of what created the Second World War. Now, if you look at what's happening now, we're watching Europe dissolve. So we have all those issues developing. We've got all the problems that are going on around China and the Chinese Sea, and the Americans and the Japanese are stuck into that end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got all the problems that are going on in the Straits of Hormuz in the Gulf.
Yep.
With Iran and the other Arab countries and Israel. So there's a whole load of stuff that's going on, which is creating more and more of us and them, which is the steam that builds to the point where people start to create the steam for war.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, and at the moment you've got Trump, who's just got a loose mouth. You know, he could turn into something more vindictive and stupid. But the bit that scares me is that if he is like the first course, is like the aperitif, yeah? Is he preparing the human mindset for what comes next? Because whoever takes over from him, it could either be someone who swings the other way or someone who swings further his way.
Yep.
And if those views become more popular, and when I look at the fact that we've got now Boris, we've got Trump, we've got Putin, and Kim Jong, we've got all those kinds of people that are floating to the surface, that globally human consciousness is moving that way. Now, I know it goes in cycles.
Yep.
And is it that we have to have another big war type thing before we settle back into a period where people are coming together?
Is that just the natural way of things? Yeah, yeah.
It could be.
Mm.
I mean, after the last war, you got the United Nations. Here in the UK, we got the welfare state. It was a whole thing about let's work together, let's do things together. And that's now all falling apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going back to the conditions that were pre-war.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is driven by these figures who come out and tell everybody the apparent truth and play to the lowest common denominator, which is people's fears. So they stoke the fears that creates the anxiety, that the end leads to the great conflict.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, populism isn't just something that's on the right of politics, I guess.
Yeah, it can be on the left.
The left too, because we've got Jeremy Corbyn in the UK, who's kind of the counterbalance to the shift to the right over here in the US. Bernie Sanders,
yeah,
more on the left over there, and AOC, Cortez, the female congresswoman who's kicking up things over there. You know, from my point of view, yeah, much more socially minded, environmentally minded, so it's cool. What was so bad about what the centre ground of politics did in the last 20 years that it's just caused it to dissolve and cause such separation? It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's madness.
It's mad. I'm fascinated by the marketing side of politics, like the propaganda. You know, I studied it at a university and did a dissertation actually on propaganda in pre-war stuff going on from a UK side and the Nazi side as well. When you look at the messaging of politics now, especially, you know, for the Trump and the Brexit campaigns, you know, it was really clever stuff, but really simple messages, weren't they? The take back control for the Brexit vote and make America great again. You know, just really simple little catchphrases that...
But also
cut through so much rubbish.
There's that realization that a lot of it was driven by lies, and just things that are going.
Well, I know, but that's it. But I'm trying to figure out and learn lessons from those things because it doesn't matter. Make America Great Again doesn't mean anything. Take back control was it? a lie because we already had control and we could, you know, we had a lot of influence.
All the lies about the money that we'd save if, and all that kind of stuff. So, and it plays at that kind of populist thing is about creating that sense of us and defaming them. So Hitler made the Jews animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Brexiteers make all the rest of Europe into evil, nasty people that are just trying to exploit us.
Mm.
Yeah, as opposed to they're just human beings that are working with each other and maybe could work with us too if we participated.
Yeah. So why, like, it seems so obvious to you and I, and hopefully a few people listening, that we need to do better remembering and learning lessons from the past. So why are we so easy to...
Well, I think that the two things that are in play are we have the psychopaths and the sociopaths, yeah? And what that effectively means is that they're people that lack insight and empathy, which you have in spades with people like Trump.
Yeah.
And Boris as well, it would appear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see what happens. But people that are not going to respond in an empathic way to anybody. Yeah. On top of that, you get this other thing, which is narcissism. And the narcissism is where I am right, you are wrong. And I am the centre of the universe, and the world revolves around me. Yeah. And once people get into that mindset, then there's no breaking in. There's no breaking into it to change it because they're right.
Yep.
And as soon as someone hunkers down and says, "I'm right and you're wrong," then you're stuffed. You can't do anything about it.
Mm.
Yeah. And that is the biggest problem. And the problem, from my point of view, when I see the rise of psychopathy in management structures, especially in the public sector, and I go and try and explain something to them, because they don't have empathy, they don't get it, they don't understand.
Yeah, well, you see that, you know, when you see a politician, if he even is a politician, Trump, when he's like, you see a journalist desperately trying to make him understand what the question is about and why maybe that he needs to rethink an idea on something based on all these facts and all this data and stuff. But you can just see it just going in one ear and out the other because he's just refusing to listen to it, which can be quite frustrating, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So
the bit that to me is kind of humorous, really, is that you end up with a belief that there's a phrase I've heard it used several times in the last couple of weeks. There's an organisation around here that's been in the press for bullying a few times, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, talking to the higher managers from that, if you say to them, the problem is this is bullying, they go, stop that. We don't have bullying in this organisation. The thing that's wrong is people's perception.
Mm.
So what we can do is now justify their bad behaviour because we say it's not the behaviour, it's the perception of the behaviour that's the problem. So we depersonalize, it's nothing to do with us.
Okay, yeah.
It's clear, and it's those mind games playing.
So what do you do as an outsider? Do you like just give them a slap around the chops or shake
them? But you can't. The thing is that you know that it doesn't matter what you're going to say because you become the idiot. If they're a group of people that believe that beating their staff with a stick is a good management policy and you're coming on saying, actually, if you use a bit of well-being, you might get more out of your staff. They go, who are you kidding? Give me another stick.
A bigger one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the problem with this form of psychopathic kind of mindsets and ideas. It's because there's no empathy, they don't get it.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's really scary. Really.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can throw all the data and stuff in the world of people and they just don't want to hear it, do they?
It's false news. It's just lies.
Fake news, yeah.
Fake news.
Oh, my word. What's the antidote to all this? How do we counter it? We just got to put in the hard work and stuff.
You know, well, what usually happens, if you look at the social cycle, is it builds up to a crescendo where, because those types of personalities can't work together, they end up hitting against each other and creating a conflict. So how far does it have to build to a conflict? And it's usually after the destruction and the conflict that things
reform mm-hmm. into something which is more, to me, socially acceptable. But yeah.
Are we heading for a civil war in the UK, or
we could? We could quite easily.
Would you see this? Yeah.
I can remember. Who was his name who did the Rivers of Blood speeches?
Enoch Powell.
Enoch Powell. You know, and some of the things that he talked about the civil unrest, could easily come to pass, because if people are not prepared to accept the fact that as the planet gets hotter, people are going to move north and south. You can't avoid it. Mm-hmm. They've either got to lie there and die, and we can all wave at them, or they're going to move towards us saying, can we have some of what we've got, please?
Yeah.
Yeah? Now we've got a choice at that point.
Do we welcome them and help, or do we?
And this whole kind of narcissistic, psychopathic thing is, let's kill them all. Let's get them out of the way.
Let's sink them boats.
Yeah.
Have you got a resource for us?
I feel like
with this, obviously, a topic that could basically, you could talk for hours and hours and weeks and weeks and weeks about.
Yeah.
But go on, what have you got?
I've got a book here, which is, I'll put up the Amazon link for it. But it's a book about narcissism that I've used quite a lot in therapeutic situations. It's called Enough About You, Now Let's Talk About Me, which is very much the narcissistic point of view.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're with a narcissist, oh my God, good luck.
I've got a little 20-minute documentary called Populism Is Reshaping Our World, Economist. So well worth a look. It's a good little introductory thing. But I've been locally, I've been getting involved in politics a bit recently. So it's been quite interesting seeing how local party politics works, you know, and the machine of like the local Labour Party stuff. And there's a lot of people locally, and then it spreads out to bigger organisations putting in the hard work.
Yeah.
On this stuff, and Green Party, all sides really. So, and it's shown me that you don't need to have that much power, inverted commas, to actually make change, because it's only quite a small percentage of populations that actually put in the hard work of, you know, lobbying and sending emails and leafleting and all that kind of stuff. And so I would encourage people to get stuck in, really, not just watch the news and just look on in horror.
Do something about it.
You're actually going to have to start doing something about all this stuff, innit? So get involved.
Yeah, okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, good one.
Okay, cool. We've made it through. A few microphone issues there. Not sure what's going on, but hopefully that makes sense.
Okay.
And we'll be back next week, Sean?
You take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.